It's a wonderful day today. You know, for some people, you have to really look to the Word, to the promises of God for your hope. And because the devil will make sure of it. Sometimes your family will make sure of it. Your upbringing, your life itself. Somewhere there's somebody. Sometimes it's your own carnal mind telling you it's all done. It's not going to work. It's not true. You're not going to finish your course. But in the Word of God, and if you listen to Jesus, if you listen to your spirit, you find something different. You find hope. And we're going to find that hope. We're going to go back to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to try to read out of the King James and the New King James a little bit. Romans 8:1. And we've learned this, so. But you know, there's a lot of people who haven't learned what you've learned. So sometimes it's good to stay the course and to remind ourselves who we are. But Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no, this is New King James, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now what we've learned is that this word condemnation does not mean feeling guilty. I repented for my sin, I washed myself in the blood, and I still feel like a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Well, brother, there's no condemnation in Christ. Well, that is not what that means. Although it's nice, you know, it's okay to say that. But sometimes we can take verses and apply them when really what they mean is something different. The right way to say this is, I know you failed. I know you're struggling. But there's no condemnation. You're not chained to be there. And this is why this is so powerful. Because if you're going through something, a fight, one of the places the devil will try to get you to is a place where you will give up fighting. Because if you give up fighting, then you lose. You lose the fight if you give up. Because it's not like a fight where you give up and go, okay, I give up peace. If you put your hands down in this type of fight, you keep getting pummeled until you die. So the number one rule of finishing your course, finishing your race, is to keep running. Even if it's an inch, you're still moving forward. If you give up, then you're in trouble. And so here, what's so important is that there's no condemnation. I'm not condemned. The word condemned here is interpreted more, you are trapped there forever. You are condemned. A prisoner condemned to life goes to jail, says you're here for, you got 55 consecutive life sentences. You ever heard someone get that much trouble? I always wonder, like, they're just trying to pile it on to prove a point. You know, because you're going to live one life. How are you going to live 55 lives? You know, but they're just trying to make a point. Buddy, you're never getting out of here. You know, so this is your home forever. You know, get used to it. Settle in it. Get comfortable. And many Christians, whether they want to admit it or not, have done that in a worldly sense. They have condemned themselves to a life within the world system. You're only as prosperous, as healthy, as successful as you can be from your natural man. But thank God we don't live out of our natural man. We're born again creatures. We are created in His image. So we are not condemned. See, what's powerful about this, this word condemned here is, you know, I've met people, I've talked to people, I've prayed for people and been with people. I've been to the psych ward many times where the psych ward is where they put you after you attempt suicide. And you can't go visit them. They have to put your name on the list. They have to ask for you at that moment. And usually it's a day or two after. And I've been down there where the young people have not only attempted to kill themselves, but they have scars on their arms from cutting themselves. You know, that cutting that a lot of people do, it feels good. It's like it brings release to them. It gives them power. there's damage in their heart, and they feel hopeless. Someone said, well, someone to commit suicide is just a loser, you know, like they're a failure, they're weak. But the best analogy I heard was, you know, during the attacks that happened in 9/11, there was the fire on the towers in New York, and it was so hot, people were jumping out of the towers to get away from the fire. And they knew they were going to die, but they chose to die one way rather than die without power. And someone said that's similar to someone who tries suicide. It's not that they're weak so much as they're escaping, and something they feel is worse. And you can get to a place, I mean, I've talked to those people and tried to give them hope. I've talked to one young man, he had spina bifida, I can't remember the right word, how to pronounce that, bifida. And I mean, he was all twisted and bent, you know, lived his whole life like that, and trying to give him a hope of the gospel. See, this word that you're no longer condemned means more than you're no longer a prisoner. It means, hey, whatever in this natural world is trying to tell you, you're stuck there. You're stuck there financially at your limit, your carnal limit of finances. You're stuck at your emotional mess, whatever mess you are. I've talked to a man and the granddaughter that he molested, and he asked me, can I get free from this? And I said, you can walk free from this, but you're going to have to pray and seek God. But he was trapped. She felt trapped. The little granddaughter now was trapped because she'd been molested. See, but this word says you're not trapped. You're born again. You are not trapped to live your life stuck in whatever you're going through. And there's hope for every person, no matter what battle you're going through. And if you're in a condition with your health, well, some days I wake up in my condition, my carnal mind starts to agree with the doctors, and I have to remind myself, and I use this, I'm not condemned to this. That's crazy. Those doctors are crazy. They don't live in the Spirit. Do you understand? The world does not live in the Spirit. Neither does 90% of the church. If you're going to live in the Spirit and be led by your spiritual man, which is led by the Holy Spirit and taught by the Holy Spirit, you and I have new, different rules. But just because you're in a fight doesn't mean you're in a fight because you failed. And doesn't mean you're condemned to live in there forever. See, the devil will blanket your mind with a thought, hey, psst, loser, psst, psst, you're stuck here. Quit fighting to get out. Now, one of the rules we have for being free, living in the freedom that comes from not being condemned, is you don't focus so much, I might prophesy this, don't focus so much on what you have to win over. Focus more on who you are, because the true way to freedom is through your spirit man and not through just conquering your flesh. So what are you fighting today? Is it doubt? Is it fear? Is it finances, health, sin, whatever you're struggling with? Listen, you and I were not condemned here. There's a couple of verses I make my mind go to when it starts to go crazy on me. And it is this one, that I'm not condemned, and take no thought for tomorrow. Why am I worrying about tomorrow? I've already won. You've already won if you don't quit. Now, if we quit focusing on the Spirit, then we're not going to change. See, the attack that I came under surprised me. Say surprised. Surprise. It was a surprise attack, and it surprised me because I thought, there ain't no way the devil's going to get me down. But I have a surprise, too, that I'm not condemned to whatever I'm going through. Amen. So there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, if you are a note taker, in Romans 8, we're going to talk about the word flesh. Say flesh. flesh is an English word interpreting a Greek word. And to interpret it right, the word flesh, and I may say this wrong, is the Greek word, comes from the Greek word sarx, S-A-R-X. Now this word sarx can mean your natural body. It can mean the nature of sin that you got from Adam. And it can mean your nationality. In Scripture, I found those, and I'm sure you found them too. So sometimes when it says the word flesh in the New Testament, it means your nature of sin. It can mean your natural body, or it can mean your nationality. I'm Canadian. I have the flesh of a Canadian. See? Or in Scripture, it talks about the Jews, the flesh of the Jews. You know, you're no longer under that. God doesn't look at you by that flesh anymore. And so here in Romans 8, every time we see the word flesh, and I think we may have to tweak our language a little bit to help overall understanding. Every time we see the word flesh, it means your old nature, nature of sin. Not so much your natural body. So if you know, do you ever have a go to a potluck? I'm talking English now. Everyone go to a potluck dinner. I know faith people have changed the word to pot blessing. You know, except some of it's not really a blessing. Depends who brings what. You know. So if I were to send out a text to everyone and said, "We're having a pot blessed dinner," and I put in quotes for the carnal people, "luck, potluck dinner." Bring something. Now, some of you ladies would bring a nice stainless steel pot of good home cooking. Now, from a man's point of view, any kind of food is good. But if you're using cream of mushroom soup in your potluck dinner, it's really not home cooking. Okay? That's a pet peeve of mine. All right. Most of you ladies got that one really good. The guys are going, huh? And so, you look at a nice stainless steel pot. Now, some of the other people got the text, would see pot, and they would bring a clay pot with a flower in it. Say, I brought a pot. Because, see, the word pot in English can be interpreted in many ways. Some of the young people would bring marijuana and say, "Hey, I brought some pot. Where's the party?" You know, say, "What am I doing in church? I thought it was a potluck dinner," you know. And see, so the word pot can be interpreted depending on how you feel. And that's what happens with the word flesh. We can interpret a scripture wrong trying to, and sometimes we interpret it's not necessarily wrong. Because you know, how many know you can know God, have an idea about God, and know the truth about God and grab a scripture and it'd be the wrong scripture. But it's still, but you're still right. Okay. So that way you don't judge preachers so much by, if they're saying the right thing, then you're on course. Although some preachers we don't want to follow. All right. So here the word flesh in Romans 8, every time you see the word flesh, you know, what I've done is I have a underline for the word spirit if it's supposed to be my new nature, and I put a little line on top of the S if it's supposed to be the Holy Spirit. And the word spirit can mean many different things, but we'll get into that another day. And then for the word flesh, I have a little line over top if it's my old nature, and I have a line underneath flesh if it's in Scripture, if it's my body. That helps me to read and not have to figure it out every single time. So in Romans 8, what I want you to see is that the word flesh here is talking about your old nature. Say old nature. Now, because Jesus came and became sin, we've been through this, and was died and was resurrected and then allowed you to receive the new nature, how many know you are now no longer condemned to live after the flesh? Now, after the flesh, meaning after the old nature. Why am I not condemned to live after the old nature? Because that old nature was ripped out of me and put to death, and I was resurrected and given a new nature, made a new creature. That means I am free from that moment on to walk in whatever God has given to me. All his promises are possible. Every word that God has given to the church is possible for you. Now, many of you just said, yeah, but you don't know me. You don't know what I struggle with. Every promise is possible for you. You're not condemned. Because one of the tricks of the devil is to have everyone amen when you say God's a healer.
Amen.
God's a great provider.
Amen.
God's a deliverer.
Amen.
See, but then if I got you in the parking lot and said, is God your healer? Well, he's a healer, and he's already healed. You have all the answers. And one day when I have enough faith, when I get past all this junk I'm dealing with, one day when I'm holy enough, one day when I'm got all everything in order, then I can receive what he's given to me. See, and that is where the devil comes in to say, honey, you ain't ever going to be good enough. The argument I had with God when he told me to not work and to sit and pray, I remember saying, God, please, I hate this faith stuff. Let me get a job. I've worked since I've been 13. Let me get a job. And he wouldn't let me do it. And my argument wasn't that he wasn't a provider, because I knew he was a provider. I preached it 1,000 times. It was that, why would he provide for me? I can see him provide for Gary, Pastor Dave. I can see him provide for you, but me, you know, I know me. I know what I go through. So, and he knows me. There's no trick in God. Why would he, how would he even see enough in me to believe that I can have enough faith to believe for something that crazy? But when God tells you to do something, it's only for one reason. Because you can do it. If he's not telling you to do something, that means he's waiting for us to get ready to do it. So there is now, therefore, now when I say the word flesh, say old nature. Flesh. Flesh. Good. No, we're on track. We're going to do good today. Now, if I'm trying to stick with the New King James and the King James, but I'm just going to read out of the Old King James. There is therefore for now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Excellent. So if you're walking after the new nature, that means you're born again, so you're not condemned anymore. Say amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of his sinful flesh, for the sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, old nature, but after the Spirit, new nature. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So if you're not born again, guess what? You are condemned to live after your old nature, the nature of darkness. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Now, here, he's talking about being trapped under your old nature. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, I want to be clear. He's comparing old nature, new nature here. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, hold that thought, because the carnal mind, how many know that after you are born again, you are left with a carnal mind? See, but you can make that carnal mind submit to the Scripture, right? But if you're not born again, you cannot. So he's still talking about not being born again. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. See, now we know some verses. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Later on we see, without faith it's impossible to please God. Now, in context, we can use that scripture to mean many things, you know, that faith is the way we walk it, this life out. But in context, what that scripture is talking about is faith in salvation. Without being saved, you're never going to please God. Doesn't matter how good you are. Way before Jesus came, I'm sure there was some lady walking around the streets of some city feeding the poor because she felt bad for it, for the poor people. But guess what? That's not going to earn her salvation. There's only one way to please God, and that's through salvation. After that, then you walk with him. So they that are in the flesh, in the old nature, cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. You are not in the old nature. But in the spirit, you have a new nature. Say, I am born again. I have a new nature inside of me that oozes life. Good job. And light and holiness. That's who I am. I am no longer of the old nature of sin. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Are you still with me? I've taught you nothing new. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So if Christ is in you, now this is the word body, this is a different word in the Greek. Okay, body usually means the flesh of an animal. So this word body is talking about your outward body that you're wearing. Even though your inner man was saved and brought to life, you still wear this cloth, this earthen vessel, this cloak, this old, aging, dying body of carnality. And it is, you're stuck with it until you leave this planet. Praise God, we get to get rid of this one day, but we are stuck with it. Can you imagine Apostle Paul having to figure out all that Jesus did? Jesus came and made a way for us to be born of the family of God. And it changed so much that what's amazing to me about some of this scripture is how the Apostle Paul had to receive this from the Holy Ghost and learn the details of what actually happened when you ask Jesus into your heart. Most of us simply ask Jesus in our heart because we were told, you're going to go to hell and burn forever in lakes of fire, and the worms are going to come out and eat you from the inside out. There's gnashing of teeth. That's your teeth, gnashing. Pain and fire and hell. Okay, Jesus, come into my heart. You know, and we think that's it. But what happened was so amazing, such a miracle, that you became a new creature. And so for us, it makes sense to me why it takes us a while to discover who we really are. So Christ is in you. The body is dead because of sin. So when we hear the word dead, you have a death nature, a nature of death when before you're saved. See, it's not dead. It's not like laying on the road dead. It's death. It oozes death. It oozes darkness. Okay. So here it says the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. I have a spirit of life, and I carry a body that is dead. But if the spirit of him, this is verse 11, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, say, that's me. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now this verse is referring, because the complexity here is, I'm born again. I said the sinner's prayer, I go to church, but I still have desires that don't line up with the Word of God. So here he says, don't worry. See, listen, every one of you will say, I hate my body. I hate this carnal mind that fights the will of God. I hate the carnal thoughts that tell me I'm not going to make it. I hate the carnal thoughts that attack me. I hate this body that's aging, this body that's breaking down. You know, you used to hear when you were younger, hey, when you're 20, you're great. When you're 30, you gain weight. But when you hit 40, things start falling apart. And when you're young, you go, yeah, that's for those other guys. I gave a real straight talk message to some young guys. I said, you have to watch your drive, you know, the sex drive. You got to watch it. It's like an engine. If you're single and, you know, don't turn it on. Because if you turn it on, it's gonna run, and it's going to take you for a ride. So the best way, if you're single, is don't do things to turn on that engine. You know, and I had one young guy said, oh, that'll never happen to me. I said, son, you have testosterone. It's going to happen to you. You're not special. You know, there's natural things in this carnal body, which are okay. They're made by God. But it says if you want to turn that engine on, you need to pay some bills for a woman. You need to buy her a house, buy her a nice ring, and then walk down the aisle, then turn it on. If you cannot turn it on, then be single. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Single is not a curse. It's a good thing. It's a great time to serve God. The single, if you're single, you should be the busiest in this church, serving God, praying, seeking God, doing the things of God. And don't just sit and wait until when I get married, then I can start my ministry. No, you're ready to go right now. Well, that's another message. Sorry. You're not missing anything by waiting to get married. All right. Verse 11. Let's see here. But if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. So you are trapped in this mortal body. But don't worry, because the same way He was able to quicken your spirit and bring life to you on the inside, there will be a day coming that He'll also quicken your mortal body and give you a new body made of a flesh that doesn't fight with the Spirit but is in agreement with the Spirit. So you and I may hate this struggle, but this is a struggle of Christianity. This is a struggle of servanthood. This is a struggle of obedience. This is a struggle of being a vessel of God, that I don't let my body tell me who I am. And I fight it every inch of the way because I have a hope that one day I won't have to fight this body. Now, if you're not fighting your body, who cares? You see, this is such a desperate comment because who he's talking to are people who are fighting their body. Now, a lot of people don't fight their body. They just accept whatever their body tells them. And so it's not a fight. So they're not desperately going, oh, please, let me have a new body. Let me have a new body. I hate this thing. You know, they're just like, this is what I got. And they're living life with their body because there's no fight. But the Scriptures tells us that the flesh or the body is contrary to the Spirit. They fight each other. They contrast each other. There's always a fight. So if you're serving God the right way, you're always going to fight your body. And sometimes your body will pitch a fit just because it doesn't like doing what you're asking it to do. We're going to get into a lot of this about the soul, how the soul is also part of the body and the spirit now that you're born again, but they are contrary to each other. And how some of the thoughts you fight, the emotions you fight, are from your body. They're not you. So it raises us up from the dead, verse 11, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, because there is a time coming, therefore, brethren, you're not debtors, not to the flesh. Now say flesh. What else are you supposed to say? So I want to be clear here. We're talking about the flesh still. He's gone back. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. Someone tell me why we're not debtors to live after the flesh anymore. Because it's not there. It's been put to death. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. So if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. Now, everyone look at me for a second. Now, it's okay to say to someone who's really living in sin. I've talked to people who are living so bad in sin that I could tell them, hey, buddy, you're going to lose your salvation. Okay. But what about a good old guy that gets born again, but never gets baptized in the Holy Ghost, never seeks after following God, but is a good man, goes to church, gives his tithe every Sunday, but never really does much more in God. He's still living after his body, after what we would call his flesh. He's still a fleshly, carnally minded guy living his life. Just a good old guy, goes fishing on Saturday, you know, but he goes to church. How many think he's going to lose his salvation? We look at his life and say, I don't think you're going to lose your salvation. So when we say, see this, we can say, if you live after your body, buddy, you keep doing those things, it couldn't lead you to a place where you give up your salvation. But this is, he's talking to the whole body of Christ here. So that's what I want to say. When he says the word flesh here, he's not talking about your body. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. If you're going to not be born again and live after your old nature because you don't accept Christ, you're going to stay under the religious law, you're going to die. There's no doubt about it. There's no question. It doesn't matter if you're a good guy or a really bad guy. If you keep that old nature in you, guess what? You're going to die. How many here know that all of us leave this planet at one time? Okay, so all of us are going to die in the natural, but we don't have to die spiritually. There's two deaths the scripture talks about. There's the first death, which is separation from God. Now, once you conquer that, the second death is meaningless to God mostly, because all you do is drop this body, falls off of you, which is going to happen anyway. And you spend eternity with God. You don't feel death. Death to God is not the losing of your body. It is the separation from Him. So if you live after the flesh, if you're not born again, you shall die. You will be separated from God for eternity. But if you eat through the Spirit, so if you're born again, now you have a job. Mortify the deeds of the body. See, the body here is talking about this carnal, earthly, monkey, animalistic, fleshly vessel you wear on your back every day, including those thoughts and emotions that are contrary to the word. If you have a thought that says you're not going to make it, where does that come from? Does that come from God? Does that come from the Spirit of God? Does that come from your spirit? Does your spirit man, which knows God and can hear from God and can talk to God, which is alive from God, ever say, I don't know if we're going to do it. I think we might as well just give up. Of course not. Where does that come from? This carnally mind, this body. So I'm going to try calling the body, the old nature, the flesh. In Romans 8, that's what it means. So your body has a voice in your life. When you feel like any emotion that says failure, loser, never going to make it. Every thought that says not good enough, not qualified. See, what qualifies you to receive from God? Is it how holy you are? Is it how good you are? Is it if you believe? If you believe that His grace is, now part of believing that in Him is you pursue holiness. But holiness is not a gift to God to say, now you can give me something. You may get that next week. If we live after the flesh, we shall die. You shall die. But if you eat through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now this is great, because this is talking about maturity. If you're led by the Spirit, by your new nature and by the Spirit of God, you are a son of God. Not born again here. This is more than born again. This is a maturity level. All right. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, yet you've received the spirit of adoption, whereas we cry, Abba, Father. So God didn't take out our old nature Let me read this again. For ye have not received... See, here's a question. Okay, preacher, I did what you said. I asked Jesus in my heart. I got on my knees and I said, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I live after you. My life belongs to you. But then I went home and 2 days later, I started being tempted again. I felt a desire to do something that I shouldn't want to do. So this is the point. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, he didn't take out the old nature of sin to put in a different nature of less sin. All right, we're going to do this step by step for you. I'm going to give you a little bit from really wanting to sin bad to just wanting to sin a little bit. Then next week, if you repent again, I'll replace it with something better. No, he's saying here, he didn't give you... You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereas we cry, Abba, Father. No, in you is a spirit that's crying out for his Father. It cries out, Abba, Father. No longer is he just God to you. He's now your Father. All right. And if children... Oh, sorry, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. So here we see the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Say, I'm a child of God. The Holy Spirit, you can go ask him. Holy Spirit, I had a bad week. I didn't do that great. Am I still God's child? Come up and try to repent at the altar and say, God, I need to be born again. The Holy Ghost will go, what are you doing here? You don't need to be born again. You're already his child. I have children. How many have children? Some are good days. Some are bad days. They're still my kids. You know, some days you're like, okay, that's not my kid. I had an opportunity to go to, I met a man who invited us to go to a real fancy museum. And he's on the board of the directors of this fancy museum in town. So, and we all went with babies and kids. We had five adults, I think, and five kids, all, you know, from 1 year old up to 13 years old. So we got in there, and I remember Harrison asking me yesterday, he said, can I bring my, they have these shoes with roller, little, they're called Heelys. And so you can walk and roll at the same time. And I went in there and I said, he said, can I be my Heelys? And I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. And mom said, no. And we got to the museum because it's like all this beautiful art. Do you know there's a museum, it's, I think, $2 billion worth of art and things here in town that's owned by the city. It's amazing. Well, the guy who I met, he's on the board of directors, he invited us, paid for us to go, and came and gave us a special tour and had somebody there walk with us and give us all the instructions. So we get in there. I'm like, man, the floor is smooth. Everything's quiet. And it's beautiful. Like, it's so beautiful. Artsy. If you're artsy, it's beautiful. So we get in there. We got our pile of kids. And if we're not redneck, we're really close to redneck kids. We get in. I even put on jeans to dress up a little bit. And so we walk in and we're all lined up, and so there's no one else in the museum with us as we're going. It's a special treat. So we get in there. There's us. There's this man with the board of directors and this lady who's teaching, who's giving us instructions. And the first thing she says, now, we have some rules. And I'm like, okay, give us the rules. You know, no running. No chewing gum. No leaning or touching anything. And I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, what have I got us into? And listen, it's not kid-friendly. Like, even the speech, the lady did really good, but your kids can only tolerate so much, especially if they've not been whooped in a museum before. They want to explore. They want to run, giggle. Some of the statues are gigglish, you know. And I'm thinking, I'm like, we are in so much trouble. You know, we're going to get kicked out of here for sure. I mean, I realized in one moment they're really serious about their art here. More serious than me and my almost redneck family are. with our five crazy, wonderful kids. Even if they tore down art and got in trouble, guess what? Still my kid. You're not going to get kicked out of being a child of God. Because what qualifies you as a child of God is that you're born again. You have His nature. Now, because you have that nature, you have the capacity to begin the process of mortifying, putting to death. But let's go on to read again. Verse 13. I'm going to try to not go over today. For if you live by the flesh, you'll die. But if through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the flesh. Now, mortify is a brilliant word. It means put to death. It means more than just don't do. It means put to death. There is a process that by your Spirit, because if you go back in Romans chapter 6, it talks about holiness as being a fruit. There's a process where holiness from your Spirit will begin to overtake your flesh and help you to live out of your Spirit instead of out of your body. So do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For many are led by the Spirit of God. Verse 14, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereas we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. Now, say suffer. Now, see the struggle here? The word suffer here means that now you're suffering against your body. Now this suffering is anything you're going through that is contrary to being perfect in Christ. How many believe in revival? Believe that there's a place available to us as Christians where every cripple will come, every young baby that's broken and crippled and blind and deaf will come, and they will be healed. We see that. The maimed will be whole. How many believe that? How many have seen that in Tulsa yet? See, now you're suffering because you're believing something's possible that you're walking towards, but I don't have it yet. Now, how many believe that holiness is part of our walk? But how many, don't hold your hands up, how many have struggles with certain things? Okay, see, now you're suffering. You're suffering because I'm going somewhere, but I'm not there yet. How many know that every emotion that comes out of you should be love, peace, even when they get your order wrong at Starbucks? Even when the guy cuts you off or your friend stabs you in the back or lies about you? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. How many know that's the emotion that should come out of us? But how many have other emotions that come out of you sometimes? See, now you're suffering. Why? Because you put a goal that says, I can live out of my spirit, man, and be everything God says I can be. And now you're suffering because you're going there. Who put you in this suffering? Christ did. How about healing? You got a problem in your body? You know, most people just give up. Say, well, this is life. This is old age. But you know, and I know, according to Scripture, we don't have to put up with it. So now you're suffering. Because why? Not because you're sick or you're fighting for healing, but because you're believing that the Word is true and you're not accepting that it's okay to live where you're at. Now you are suffering. Now this is where it gets really fun. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectations of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now look at verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected it, the same in hope. Now, read that last little line. The same in hope. For the creature was made subject. This is verse 20. Now I'm going to read out of the New King James, then I'll go back to the King James. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Now from the King James Version. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Now I've kind of always skipped through that verse, but then as I'm understanding more about what God expects of us in hope. See, who subjected creation or the creature to be in vanity? Vanity, futility, meaning spinning your wheels. Who subjected it in hope? Hope, not in danger. See, we know that Adam subjected the whole earth to vanity in death, in desperation. But here it's in hope, meaning Jesus came and subjected the whole earth to vanity. In other words, marked it as being, you're in a fight now. What this earth can give you is going to be useless for you, powerless for you. It's not what this earth can give you is now in vanity. God put you in a fight in hope of what? In hope of a new earth. A new body. That's the hope that he put you in. By giving you hope, now if he just left you alone, here's the example. If he left you alone and said, this is life. You lived in a little village in the middle of nowhere, no Wi-Fi, no iPad, iPod, no iPhone, no TV. You went out every day and you had to go kill what you eat and burn it by fire. You had no clothes. You had buffalo skin for clothes or lizard skin for boots. And you had to kill what you ate and make mud huts. That's all you ever knew. That's it. Guess what? You thought this is life. I got the biggest mud hut in the town. I'm the king of the town. I'm the richest guy there is until an airplane flew over you. That happened in Brazil. They got a picture of a tribe in Brazil looking up as if the first sign of civilization they've ever seen was an airplane flying over top of them, taking pictures of them, looking up. They were naked with a little bit of strips of stuff with spears and bows and arrows, maybe, I don't know, looking up, wondering what on earth is that creature, because they'd never seen an airplane before. See, all of a sudden, because someone came along and said, hey, there's more in this world than what you have, now you have a hope. Number one, that I can go further than I am, but now you're also in vanity. Now you're in what I have is not. I can't live here anymore, and that's what this is saying. Because you're born again, Jesus came to you and said, "Now you can have more, but you're going to have to fight for it. You can't settle anymore because you're born again. But I had to leave you in this body, this mortal body. Let me pause and go through my list of names." This is what God calls you. See, you live inside a mortal body, but in Scripture, He differentiates between your inner man and your body. So you, who are spirit, have a spirit, live in a spirit, wear a mortal body. He calls you a child of God. He calls you the apple of his eye. He says that you are fearless. He says that you are free from sin. You're an heir with Christ. You are accepted. You're a branch connected to him. You're a friend of God. You're at one with him, a new creature. So you can walk into God's presence full of mud. My kids, they'll go out and you can tell them, especially Harrison. Okay, you can go out and play, but stay off the muddy grass. And sure enough, he'll come walking in. And I love to hear my wife with her Tennessee scream. yelling at the kids and the dogs. His paw prints and footprints are muddying up the living room because they're carrying mud. But they're still our kids. You can come in carrying mud, this mortal body, this body that is mortal, and this body that is, you're going to have troubles with your mortal body until the day comes that vanity stops and you receive a new body. And in that day, you'll never have a trouble again. You'll never have to believe for more. You won't have to believe, you'll have it. So you come in muddy, he'll say to you, you're a new creature. Yeah, but I'm muddy. I made a mess. You're still my child. You're the righteousness of Christ. You're blessed, seated with him in heavenly places. You're chosen, forgiven, redeemed, sealed with the Holy Ghost. You are his workmanship. I'm a member of the body of Christ. You know you're a member of the body of Christ? Do you know you're his bride? Been bought near. You're light. You're a citizen of heaven, raised in him. You're completed in him. Loved by him. You're his treasure, his masterpiece. You are his child, his son or his daughter. But then if you ask him about your body that you're wearing right now, the body with all its thoughts, all of its opinions, its deeds, and we're going to hopefully get into this, you know, I figure Pastor Dave preached 300 sermons on the Born Again Trail. I'll just keep preaching this stuff until I get it. But your body that you're wearing right now, with its thoughts, its intents, its deeds, its opinions, here's what he calls it. Because it's going to fall off you. It's already declared dead because what told it who it is, the nature, is already dead. It's dead because the nature of it died. But you still have to wear it. Why? Because the only reason you still have to wear this body is because God wants to populate heaven. Not with you, because you're already gone. But the people next door, the people down the street. There's billions of people going on a road, going to hell. We need revival. The reason we're here is for one reason. Your job, once you're born again, is no longer to live in this world and be happy. Oh, now I'm getting mean. So much of the gospel's been used. How does God take care of me? I use my faith for me. God's purpose for us who will follow him is to go through this body and through the attacks of the enemy, whatever the cost, to get to a place where we can harvest more people into heaven. But don't worry, because the time is coming when you and I will have a new body. So even if you're struggling, no matter how bad it is, don't believe it. Because he calls your body mortal, corruption, natural, dishonored, dust, carnal, vain. You ever hear that song, You're So Vain? You know, it's a guy, a girl, I don't even know what it's about. Some girl wrote a song about a guy that broke her heart, and she said, you're so vain. You probably think the song is about you. You know, so next time your body starts to tell you, hey, I want this. Hey, we should have this. We should live at this level. Honey, I don't care if you live in a little car. If you're serving God, you're in the right place. But my neighbor has a nice house and a boat. Aren't they prosperous? When you hear those thoughts, just start singing, body, you're so vain. You probably think this life is about you, don't you? My life isn't about serving my body's desires. My life, see, this is where we get confused. We say, I, see, when you, this is why it's vanity, because you no longer say, I want ice cream. You don't want ice cream. You don't even eat ice cream. No, let me preach. You don't eat ice cream, Krispy Kreme. You eat the Word of God. The only thing your body needs is a little bit of lettuce. A little lettuce, a little cabbage. Really, I mean, if we could eat a little bit of cabbage, a lemon, and I don't know, I need a little more. Maybe a little steak once in a while. We don't need coffee, as Nathan has proven. See, every appetite of the body is for the body. You don't eat meat. You don't even eat vegetables. There's nothing on this earth that you eat. You're a spirit. The only thing you really eat that you really need is the Word of God. I'm preaching good there. So next time you're driving around, and I'm saying you because I don't obviously do that. I'm an overcomer. Drive around Wendy's, McDonald's, pizza place. You can just sing, "You're so vain." Because it's not you that's desiring those things. You see that? It's your body. The desire is a failure. Sometimes we want to be in failure. Why? When I say sometimes people sabotage themselves because they don't want to expect more of themselves. See, the body doesn't want you to be in charge. So it tries to trick you and say, put his arm around you and say, "Hey, let's, you and I, we're together." Say, take the, you know, ladies, you're walking down the mall and some guy, ugly, twice your age, big pot belly, bad breath, missing half his teeth, comes and puts his arm around you and goes, "Hey, baby, you and I were meant to be together." You know, the first thing you're going to do is take his hand off of you, and then you're going to say, "Back off, buddy. We are not together." You know, especially if there's a really cute guy looking at you. Okay, well, that's your body. You and I, we're together. You got to take its arm every day and say, "Ugh, we are not together. This life is not about you. I may give you a steak because, you know, but it's my choice." I want to go on a fast, so I got to build up. You ever go on your pre-fast meal? We're all the same, don't worry. You know, all of us, you know, my favorite is fasting week, fasting month, you pull up and just don't look under my seat. All the wrapped up McDonald's bags of evidence that I didn't succeed. All right, real quick, verse 19. For the earnest, well, verse 18. Now I'm going to just read out the New King James here. "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We now know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Now I want you to see this, because this is what we're waiting for. We're eagerly waiting. We put in this hope from Jesus to say, you don't have to put up with it anymore. But if you want the more, now you can't settle. So now you have this vanity. My life is vanity. All that I lived in this world is vanity. And he says, not just you, the whole world. The whole world is groaning with earthquakes and storms, waiting for the redemption of this earth, where we will have a new earth and a new universe and a new heaven. That's what Jesus did. He came, and we are eager, just like this planet. I'm groaning, hating living in this body, especially today. But I have a hope that says, not only am I getting a new body, but I can win on this with this one too. Right. Say amen if you're still with me. Amen. "For we're saved in this hope. For hope that is seen is not hope." So it's not hope if you think you're just loser, failure. You're just stuck. You're condemned because you fail through the same thing over and over and over. Here he says, we're saved in this hope. "For hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Oh, we hate that word. That means no matter how many times you have to pick yourself up, you don't ever stop believing that you have authority over that body. Don't ever stop believing. There is a pathway of mortification. We're not. You don't have to wait until heaven. But today, you and I can walk into, step by step, a place where we have full authority over every thought, every part of our body, through our spirit. And then our famous verse, and I'm going to close with this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our infirmities. Infirmity means the part of you that seems powerless to overcome. The part of you that seems broken. That's all in your flesh, my brothers and sisters. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You don't know how, when you were 5 years old and something bad happened to you, it damaged your natural soul. And it did something to you. It broke you. People are broken. Do you understand that? People are broken. People of all places are broken. No matter if they're preachers or not, everyone's broken. The natural body is broken, but we're not subject to be told by that brokenness who we are. Brokenness in many different ways. The Holy Ghost knows how you're broken, and he knows how to give you the instructions to overtake that part of that broken. Not just tell the brokenness no more, but to actually bring, we can call it inner healing, but really it's a mortification. Where we put it to death. You, brokenness, no longer tell me who I am. This word tells me who I am. And you, brokenness, tell me I need this. You're so vain. You probably think my life is about you. I'm going to read this. Oh, this is a prophecy that came forward one time. Oh, I come from a place within where you think that you have no strength. And I say to you, get up and try again. And even though you may be cast down from time to time, know this, my child, you are not forsaken. Get up again and again and again, and my strength will be with you continually to begin again and again and again. If you think you've got down too many times, remember, get up again and again and again. Until when? Until we get a new body. The reason you're having trouble isn't because you failed. It's because you're stuck with this ugly old body. And because Jesus said you don't have to put up with it anymore. In a time when you think you will fail, you will not fail. You will stand. Let's talk about mortification. You will come from a place within and give you strength, says the Spirit of grace, that you never knew you had. See, you may be, the fact you don't accept your body as being who you are means you're on a place of faith. And even though you may have to get up again and again and again, if we keep praying in the Holy Ghost, mortification will come. Then one day you'll face that thing again that you failed to 1,000 times, and you'll find, wait a minute, I am now above you. Yesterday I was below you. Not that you're not free. Your body brokenness is trying to tell you who you are. And one day you'll be above it. So even if you gotta get up again and again and again. If you recognize where that's from, I stole that off of Pastor Dave's book. It's in there. All right, you are released. Sorry I went over. God bless you. See you at 10:00.